We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Marks and Reese, we're back. Todd Zielecki is the Phillies reporter for MLB.com, Phillies.com, also the author of Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay. Jack and I have both read it. It is excellent. Everybody should pick it up, and he's also a football expert. So we're going to get his opinion on our topic here at the end of the phone call. But Todd's going to weigh in on the Phillies. What's up, Todd? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
What's up, TZ?
Hey, man. What's happening?
Well, as far as the Phillies, we're waiting for the season to start. But I guess the biggest news is JT Realmuto. So Jim Salisbury had sometime last week, he was bringing up, you know, 4, 5, 6 years and upwards of $23 million a year. Matt Klentak yesterday didn't seem like that was going to be the case. So what's your read on the situation as far as where the Phillies and Realmuto are right now?
Yeah, so before camp got canceled in March, I was talking to a couple people, and I had no sense that they were close. You know, everybody at the time said, well, they're going to get this thing locked up before the end of spring training. Before opening day, Realmuto is going to be signed to a contract extension. And what, camp was canceled on what, March 14th? I don't think anything was close at that point. And I didn't get the sense that there was, you know, they wanted to get it done, but it wasn't super, super urgent for them. So where are they right now? You know, the landscape has changed. So I think a lot of what Matt said yesterday might have been posturing, public posturing. You know, hey, the pandemic, revenues are down. You know, maybe we're not going to have, you know, be able to meet what you wanted in March. But I think the Phillies have every incentive in the world to try to get something done. Now, do they overpay right now to make sure he doesn't get to free agency, or do they roll the dice and say, hey, you know what, nobody's going to give him what he wants. We'll go to free agency and get the price of our liking. That is a big risk, though. That is a very, very big risk.
Yeah, because the thing that that would worry me about that, Todd, is Todd Zielecki, JT Realmuto, I'm wondering what his reaction would be after already going to arbitration and having to hear why he wasn't worth the money that he thought he was worth at that time, what his reaction would be if the Phillies were to let him get to the open market to test free agency. In other words, does he even bother coming back to the Phillies? Does he leave out of spite? That would be my concern if you let him try to get to free agency.
Right, yeah. Now, I get what you're saying, but so in talking to JT in March and then Matt Gelb from The Athletic talked to him in May, it didn't sound like he had a chip on his shoulder. He kind of understood, you know, the argument that the Phillies made at the time, which was, oh, he's still going to make a record for an arbitration-eligible catcher. There's two personal experiences, I guess Phillies-related experiences, that make me think that he won't carry a grudge into the season into the offseason if the money is there. Mm-hmm. I remember Cole Hamels, after he won World Series MVP in 2008, the Phillies renewed him. He didn't get the big raise that he thought he deserved. He said, you know what, I'm going to remember this when it comes to free agency. I'm going to remember this when it comes to a contract extension. Well, the Phillies gave him over $100 million. He signed with the Phillies. Ryan Howard, same thing. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, after he was renewed after winning the MVP, he indicated he was unhappy. He fired his agent a couple times, a couple different agents, and it was like, oh, you know, he's going to stick it to the Phillies when it comes to an extension. But the Phillies gave him $125 million. He signed with the Phillies. So, you know, if the money is there, I think they'll forget all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I was just thinking from the standpoint of if the Phillies have this hard number that they won't go over or years, and then JT doesn't. You know what I'm saying? As an athlete, You don't want to come back crawling to a club that you already think lowballed you.
Well, that is true, you know, and that's the risk the Phillies, you know, it would be a risk, you know, if you say to yourself right now, you know, JT is not going to be able to get 5 years at $23 million per. If he thinks he's going to get that, he's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So now you go, let him go to the free agents market. He'll see that he can't get that number. But then what happens if a team goes, you know what? This guy is worth it, and we'll give him something more than the Phillies. Mm-hmm. They could lose him. You know, remember, think back to the Bryce Harper negotiations. Like, they were really close to losing him to the Dodgers and the Giants before Middleton stepped up at the last second and made the big offer. So that could happen again. Like, you don't want to get too cocky in these negotiations for somebody like Real Muto.
Yeah, and with Matt Klentak, like you said, Todd, he had a really good read in the market when it came to Harper and Machado. He realized he wasn't going to bid against himself, but like you said, they could at the same time you lose him.
Yeah,
if Middleton doesn't get involved.
And Real Muto is so good. I get that the risk of a catcher, you know, you sign him to a 6-year deal. He's a catcher. They break down, but he is such a good athlete. He does so many things well. He's good in the clubhouse. You know, you traded your top pitching prospect for him, Sixto Sanchez, Jorge Alfaro. I don't know what Alfaro is going to be in a few years, but, you know, you traded a lot because you thought he was going to be a part of your plans for several seasons. So you can't let him go after a season and a half, or I guess you'd technically count this two full seasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't even a half season.
It's not 60 games.
Yeah.
But, and Todd, I think you brought up an important point. When push comes to shove, I don't think John Middleton's losing JT Realmuto. And if Matt Klentak's going to stick to, we're only given 4 years and Realmuto's not signing, I feel like Middleton gets involved and gets that extra year or so.
You know what? And I think a big thing working in JT's favor is that, yes, John Middleton, you know, he wants to win. He loves JT. The other thing is Bryce Harper also loves JT. Mm-hmm. So you think Bryce Harper is not going to get on the phone and call John Middleton at some point this offseason if JT isn't signed? I think Bryce is going to make a big push to get JT locked up. He already started making that push, you know, last season, saying, you know, we got to get this guy signed. We've got to keep him around. He's my favorite player in baseball. Mm. You know, let's make it happen. So there's going to be some pressure on that end too.
Mm. Todd, and we're talking to Todd Zielecki. Todd, how much is what's happening right now with the financials of not having fans in the stands? Maybe we know baseball's losing a lot of money. What's that going to do with free agency? And what's reality? Because everybody looks at the Phillies and say, oh, well, they have plenty of money to spend. Do they? Are they going to have plenty of money to spend going forward?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Now, I think the elite players, somebody like JT technically, should be okay. You know, if Mookie Betts hits free agency this offseason, he's going to get paid in some way, shape, or form. I think what it's going to do, though, are those middle-tier players, those $5, $10 million guys that you might be able to get. I think those guys are really going to get hit hard. Guys that are maybe entering their final couple seasons of arbitration, you know, that were expecting that first nice big payday, you know, they could get non-tendered and hit the open market and sign a one-year deal for $2 million when they were expecting a one-year deal for $10 million. So I think those guys are going to be the ones that are hit hardest.
Yeah, I was saying that yesterday. The stars are going to get paid, but those middle-of-the-road guys who may have had a career year going into free agency, and they sometimes get overpaid, those are the ones I would be worried about paying anyway. Those guys, they come out of nowhere and have a good year.
Yeah, like I'm wondering, like, what – so Didi Gregorius right now, he signed that one-year deal with the Phillies basically saying, I'm going to go out, prove I'm healthy, I'm going to have a monster year in Philadelphia, and I'm going to go out and sign a huge multi-year contract extension either with the Phillies or with somebody else. So say now he goes out and he plays well for 60 games, what kind of deal is he signing? Is he going to get that long contract?
A two-year deal maybe.
Yeah, maybe a two-year deal. Yeah. You know, maybe he's going to go – I'll sign another one-year deal with somebody and hope I have another good year, and then maybe the economics will have improved. So it puts those types of guys, I think, in a real tough situation.
Yeah. Todd, give me a quick answer on Odubel Herrera. Do you expect him to be considered to make the final roster, or at least to be in that satellite 30 player up at a camp up in Lehigh Valley?
Boy, it sure sounded like it. You know, with what Matt Klentak said yesterday, he said he was under consideration and he's going to continue to be under consideration. You know, in spring training, I think the feeling was is that if they couldn't trade him, that he would get released. But now, because of the COVID situation, you don't know if like a bunch of players are going to get lost at some point because of an outbreak. You know, Odubel, they might just keep him around for that type of situation. I think if there had been no pandemic, I think Odubel probably would have never played for the Phillies this season. But under these circumstances, I think they're keeping the door open.
It's a possibility. If you're looking for a good book to read down the shore, or just a good book to read, Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay, authored by one Todd Zalecki, is
great
excellent.
Book. Great book, Todd. Thank you, too, for our copies, man. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. All right, last thing, Todd, because I know you're a big Packer fan. You're a big NFL guy. We're debating today. There was this list that came out that had Sean McVay ranked ahead of Doug Peterson. So, of course, I have to be the one that says, like, yeah, Sean McVay's ranked ahead of Doug Peterson. And everybody disagrees because we are in Philadelphia. What do you think?
I think it's Doug Peterson. I think he won a Super Bowl. With what he's done with some of those teams, with the injuries that he had, I just think he's a really good coach. For some reason, I think he just gets dogged a lot. But in Philly, I think that's just the nature of the beast. I think a lot of times fans, they focus on their team and they don't realize what other teams have, how good or how bad they are. You know, I see it with the Philly stuff all the time. Like, this manager's an idiot. This pitching coach is the worst pitching coach. This guy stinks. That guy stinks. And when you compare them to other players and coaches and managers, you're like, no, they're actually not that bad. So I'm going to say
right.
Doug.
All right. Doug's getting a lot of support here. It seems like nationally he doesn't get as much support as maybe he should. Right, and
yeah,
this list.
I don't know why that is, but I guess I just, I listen after whenever the Eagles lose, I listen to you guys, and I hear just Doug just get killed by fans, and I'm like,
man,
this guy won a Super Bowl. What's everybody
Ooh,
doing?
Ooh, boy.
Well, hey, listen, without Sean McVay, you don't get your Matt LaFleur down
man. I don't
up there
know about
in Green
him.
Bay.
I don't know about him. I'm not that high on him.
Well, there you have it, Todd Zalecki.
Yep.
May not know football, but he knows the Phillies. That's
I don't
sure.
know football. I know, yeah, baseball, please.
All right, Todd.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Guys.
Appreciate it. There he is, Todd Zalecki.
Packer fan, and not even that excited about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Well, I think 13-3 in the NFC.
What, he 18 wins
game.
Last year?
I think Zalecki's just an Aaron Rodgers guy. He's on Aaron Rodgers'
side.
Ah,
that's what it is. All right, so let's piggyback off of that. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in on the real Muto conversation, Ike, I think that the one thing that Todd said was that, is Middleton going to allow JT Realmuto to leave?
No, and that, he shouldn't.
And that's where, just like with Bryce Harper, to where when he feels like he needs to get involved, then he's going to get involved. Or, if that means putting up an extra year, he's going to do it.
Well, remember the press conference where he said he doesn't deal with scouts on the West Coast. He deals on the big guys.
Exactly. Big
well, he's not getting relievers. He's the star.
Listen,
exactly.
And I said this yesterday. Do you think Bryce Harper is going to allow that to happen? You want Bryce Harper ticked off in his third year here? Coming off as an organization that talked him into coming here, you know they persuaded him, we're going to win. We're going to build a winning club around you.
They traded for JT to entice Bryce.
Exactly. And now you're going to let the guy go?
Mm.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So not Matt, a potted Matt, plant sitting yeah. in the corner?
Matt Klintak can talk all he wants to. That's what he does. But the guy who actually writes the checks? Yeah. The one who's actually responsible for the ball club? Yeah.
The GM of the ball club.
Yeah, thank God.
John Middleton.
Thank God he is. We wouldn't have Bryce Harper. We wouldn't have Joe Girardi. Because Matt Klintak wanted to keep Gabe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have Joe Girardi.
Wouldn't have had Charlie Manuel's hitting coach.
Exactly. So anytime John Middleton has had to get involved, we needed him to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sees the rudderless ship that is
exactly. Yeah.
He also got involved in hiring this GM and Andy McPhail. Just
well,
saying,
he's learned. From
well,
that.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He did extend them right after signing Bryce Harper.
He got excited. So. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
He called it the best GMing ever of all time.
He got a little excited.
215-592-9494. Back to the Eagles. Is Doug Peterson a top five head coach in the NFL? Or is Doug Peterson a better coach than Sean McVay?
Yes.
That's really where we went today. And, I mean, listen, Doug Peterson's a good coach, and it's close. And it's close. If you're simply going to say, well, he won the Super Bowl, so he can't be better, you're right. I have no argument for that.
Nor do you have an argument for the 2-0 mark he has against Sean McVay.
Okay, well.
In Sean McVay's house.
Doug's also lost to Pete Carroll head-to-head every time they played.
We're talking about Pete Carroll. We're talking about Sean McVay.
Right.
So, okay, so if you want to have Pete Carroll ahead of Doug, that's fine.
But I don't. I have Doug ahead of Pete Carroll because I can't use the head-to-head because that doesn't tell the entire story. What tells the entire story is, are you an innovator? What kind of a coach are you? What is your quarterback play like? Right? Sean McVay came in and took over a morbid franchise and instantly transformed that offense.
What did he innovate?
What did he innovate?
Yes.
His, I mean, if you want me to bore you with something that I was reading earlier.
Well, please do.
His scheme, no.
I've yet to hear anything that makes him, from you or John Ritchie, that makes him a better coach than Doug Peterson.
215-592-9494. The quarterback play, all right? The quarterback play that Sean McVay has had last year. Like, you know when the Rams were 9-7, that's when.
So what about the years when he had his best records? What about the quarterback play in those years?
Jared Goff played better.
Oh, okay.
And also Todd Gurley was there, and the offense ran through their running back, and then he got hurt.
Did he play better because he's good, or did he play better because of Sean McVay?
He played better because Sean McVay got him going. I mean, Jeff Fisher.
Why didn't he get him going last year?
Because he struggled. He didn't play well.
Why didn't he get him going?
Because he didn't. Because Jared. Here's the thing, like Jared Goff is. If you're lucky, a top 20 quarterback. If you're lucky, a top 20 quarterback.
Okay, well, what makes him that? What makes him below a top 20 quarterback?
It can't be the wins and losses.
The Super Bowl?
His performance in general. Last year, the Super Bowl?
So it's not his numbers, because his numbers would say differently.
Well, I know. You like the numbers. I'm trying to figure out
how do I judge a quarterback?
The eye test, Ike. What does the eye test tell you about Jared Goff?
That he's a top 15 quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback?
Did I say top 15?
Okay, but is he 15? Is he 11?
He's a top 15 quarterback.
Well, I would disagree with that. And
well, he has to be 10. He has to be 11 to 15, because I would have said he's a top 10 quarterback.
And I think the biggest problem Jared Goff had last year was losing Todd Gurley and really not knowing what to do with it.
Or maybe that's the biggest problem Sean McVay had.
No, last year to me was 9-7 record with bad quarterback play. That was a fantastic coaching job by Sean McVay.
Now I got to pull up Jared Goff's numbers. Bad quarterback play. Okay, let's see.
Well, I mean, again with the numbers, but pull up Dak Prescott's numbers too.
Let's see.
Let's go to Andy in Deptford. Andy, how are you? Let's see.
Guys,
what's up, Andy?
How we doing?
Yes.
What's up, Andy?
Ike, man, you've been saying NFC. We West is a weak division. I mean, the last 3 years. Let's compare that conference. That division to the NFC East. NFC West was 102.
I'm not comparing the West to the East.
Can I finish? NFC West was 102 and 89. The NFC East was 87 and 105.
Who won the Super Bowl? Which division has a Super Bowl winner in it?
So that tells me that the Rams were playing a lot better competition. And now these guys are offensive-minded coaches, McVay and Doug Peterson. Last 2 years, 2018 offense, we finished 18th. They third. Last year, they finished 7th. We finished 14th. Do I think McVay's better than Doug? No, but I don't think Doug's a top 3 coach. No way. McVay's 22-10 the last 2 years. Doug's 18-14. Since Reich and DeFilippo left, Doug's just a little bit over average. I mean, you know, everyone's saying we have so much confidence in Doug Peterson. You guys forget that press conference where he's saying Carson Walsh is back? Then the next day, the guy gets whacked?
Hey, Andy, let me ask you this. Who's better, Doug Peterson or Sean McVay?
Who's a better coach?
Yeah.
Doug Peterson.
All I need to know.
But Doug Peterson is not a top 3 NFL coach.
Okay, that's fine. That, in my opinion, he is.
But here's my thing with Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I can't just give him the keys to the Bentley and say, hey, this is all yours. Because I'm questioning a lot more what he's doing now after those guys have.
And here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling you, Andy. You do that because you watch every single snap of the Eagles. Now, if you watch the Rams with the same intensity that you watch the Eagles, I'm pretty sure you can find some flaws in Sean McVay's coaching.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, though. I respect your football knowledge so much. Mm-hmm. Do you think Doug Peterson's offense has been a little bit vanilla?
Run
game? So, I mean, a coach that's an offensive-minded coach, and he's supposed to be a top 3 coach, he's got to be able to adjust. He's got to be more innovative.
Why wasn't Sean McVay more innovative last year?
I'm not on this Sean McVay kick.
What you did is you called up to argue something that we aren't necessarily debating. Hold on, Andy. If you want to tell me that Doug's not a top 3 coach in your opinion, that's fine. But we're talking about Doug Peterson versus Sean McVay.
Okay, in Sean McVay's defense, right? When Todd Gurley was not the same player, that team didn't have as much success.
Andy, you can't give me players being injured when Doug Peterson has lost players for three straight years.
The same way when Wentz was hurt, the Eagles weren't the same team.
And they still made the playoffs.
When you lose because they're in a weak division, come on, stop it. When you lose your best player, your team's going to take a hit. That division, if you flip the wins and losses, the NFC West is 102-89. The NFC East is 87-105. Our division is butt.
God. See, here's your problem with those numbers, just throwing them out with blank statements like that.
No, I'm not. Hold on. Just, the 49ers are
dude, do you want to hear yourself talk or do you want to hear me talk? They beat up on each other in a division. So tell me the team. Give me the impressive win the Rams have had. Who they beat? Did they beat the Patriots?
Redskins out of the NFC East and put the Cardinals in, they would be competing for the NFC East, without a doubt. With DeAndre Hopkins, with Kyler Murray, with a young team and a young coach. The Cardinals got talent.
Oh, man. You're talking about every other team but the Rams and Sean McVay. You don't like Doug. That's fine. You've already told me Doug's a better coach than Sean McVay. So you're trying to move to the argument that he's not a top three coach. He's already told me Doug was better than Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to argue that Doug's not a top three coach?
215-592-9494.
My God.
We'll get into it.
I mean, I don't understand. What's the criteria for a good coach then?
Well, they're both good coaches.
No, what's the criteria for these two one-on-one against each other? I'm trying to figure out what puts Sean McVay ahead of Doug Peterson. I still haven't seen it, or I haven't had anybody point that out yet.
We'll discuss it on the other side. 215-592-9494.
All I'm hearing is you blaming the quarterback who was the number one overall pick. That's all I'm hearing. Same quarterback that got you to the Super Bowl.
The number one overall pick is irrelevant of where he was drafted.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
I don't think so.
So Jamarcus Russell was the number one overall pick. I mean, should he?
He was terrible.
Okay. So Jared Goff was the number one overall pick. And
he's not Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, but he's not very good.
But he's not Jamarcus Russell.
Just because you're the number one overall pick doesn't mean that you have to play it to a certain level. Jared Goff's not very good.
Okay, so let's see. He was good enough to throw 32 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. He was good enough to throw 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Maybe he struggled last year because the boy genius ain't really a boy genius. And he couldn't fix the offense. Maybe that's why he struggled, because after Bill Belichick gave everybody the blueprint on how to shut it down, maybe that's why he struggled. Maybe that's why the boy genius struggled.
215-592-9494. McVay or Doug Peterson? This list on CBS HQ has Doug at 9, McVay at 6. What do you think? 215-592-9494. Inge checks in coming up on the other side. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.